So I always say, even if a woman doesn't want to have a baby, she wants to be optimally fertile, because fertility is a sign of female health. The ancient people knew this. They worshiped fertility gods. That's why the menstrual cycle is a vital sign of a reproductive aged woman's health. When a woman has an abnormal menstrual cycle, this is so key for people to understand. If they have horrible cramps, if they have irregular cycles, very heavy bleeding, the solution isn't to try to cover it up. The solution is to help that woman to get healthy.
Hello, Awaken Beauties. Finally, it's here. The truth: to empower women to true inner beauty through a healthy mind and inner biology. I am your hostess, Cassandra Keel, a 20-year salon owner, organic beauty product formulator, positive mind management, and clinical hypnotherapist. And I am here to help you stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back. Sponsored by evokebeauty.com. EVOQBeauty.com. Now, let's get to it. All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's EVOQBeauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's EVOQBeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Welcome to the Awaken Beauty Podcast. I am Cassandra, your organic beauty, positive mind management, and clinical hypnotherapist. And today I have the great honor of inviting Miss Dr. Felice Gersh on the Awaken Beauty Show. Now, many of you know we carry a number of topics from hormones to beauty to the endocannabinoid system. And Dr. Felice has an incredible insight on really the overall arching balance of the endocannabinoid system, our hormones, and how it all comes together through diet, emotional health, and lifestyle. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and give you her incredible bio, and then we will go ahead and welcome her onto the show. So Dr. Gersh is a rare combination of a board-certified OBGYN who also integrates and is trained in integrative medicine. Her career has evolved over the years into one which utilizes the most cutting-edge diagnostic testing while incorporating science-based therapies, from the herbal to the surgical, to assist the healing process. Now, adept in all areas of women's health, Dr. Gersh is especially renowned for her expertise in the hormonal management of women, with a unique specialization in PCOS, which affects 1 in 10 women. She also approaches the female aging process in a holistic manner, comprehensively addressing the negative impact of sleep disturbances, pharmaceuticals, environmental toxins, nutrient and hormonal deficiencies, along with gut microbiome imbalances, and what we all know very well, chronic stress. So I would like to give a big welcome to Miss Dr. Felice Gersh. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. All right.
Well, I'm so happy to join you and to have the opportunity to educate and inform and share all the latest knowledge about women's health and this whole brand new, although ancient, it's been around, for about 600 million years in very prehistoric type creatures, the endocannabinoid system, and how that really is integral to women's health.
Absolutely. And I think that you and I can both agree that, you know, the upload of the sales and buzz around CBD and cannabis and this whole booming industry right now has really brought a lot of focus and attention to the endocannabinoid system. But I think we both, you know, myself owning an organic salon and spa, making products for women, and you with your expertise have women's best heart in mind. And so I think this creates a really incredible opportunity for you to start to really peel the onion away of the understanding of how intricate the ECS and the hormonal interrelationship really is together. So if you maybe want to, first of all, just tell us, how did you personally awaken to just the industry yourself? Now, you have an expertise in hormonal health for women, but really kind of how did you come to this love for what you help bring about for women today?
Well, I've always known since I began my practice more than a couple of decades ago that there was more to helping women to optimize their health than doing surgery on them or giving them pharmaceuticals. So from the very get-go in my practice, I incorporated Chinese medicine, massage therapy, psychological care, nutrition. I had biofeedback. So I had a whole array of what I called my ancillaries. But it was only about a dozen years ago when I stopped doing obstetrics. Maybe I had a little bit more time, a little bit of sleep, that I decided I was going to get more training in integrative medicine myself. So I went and I took a lot of courses. I did the 2-year fellowship in integrative medicine at the University of Arizona School of Medicine. And then I finished that in 2012. And I became one of the very first in the whole nation who became double board certified in OBGYN and in the new field of integrative medicine. And I've never looked back because now I have an expanded therapeutic toolbox, and I've really done a deep dive into how the female body really works. And it's really been eye-opening because it's not anything that I learned in my training. And sad to say, the vast majority of conventionally trained OBGYNs have actually no clue about how the female body really works. And I would want everyone to know foundationally that whether you want to have children or not, we're the only species that actually tries to control our fertility destiny. But the reality is that the female body has evolved for the optimization of reproductive functions. And our metabolic functions are completely intertwined with our reproductive function. And that has been completely lost on everyone in the conventional medical world. They have this idea that you could just lop off reproductive functions with chemicals, endocrine disruptors, and so forth, and somehow the body will just keep humming along. And that's not the case. It's completely intertwined. And the master that of all metabolic processes in the female body is actually estrogen. And there are estrogen receptors throughout all of the female body, not just in the reproductive organs, like you name an organ, the brain, the blood vessels, the heart, every area of the GI tract, the lungs, the skin. So it's everything. So now of all like this amazing discovery that I've made in terms of estrogen and how it links reproductive health to metabolic health, because nature wants a healthy woman to be a reproductive successful woman, because they go hand in hand. And now we understand that foundational to fertility and metabolic health, because they're totally intertwined, is this newly discovered but anciently existing endocrine system that interlinks, which is the endocannabinoid system. It's a system of lipid mediators, fatty acids that form these substances that actually act as sort of mediators between the bodily actions and the hormones. And now we know that hormones and the endocannabinoid system are completely interlinked. And that's why I always want to give a very huge warning out there that when you use marijuana-based cannabis in particular, although we don't really have the data either on hemp-based in women who are trying to become pregnant, that you can actually, because of the intertwining of the plant-based materials and our own receptors, you can actually reduce fertility, reduce egg quality. You can mess with the menstrual cycle. You can induce miscarriages, potentially preterm labor. So we can go into that this is not a harmless situation. You know, everyone has to understand that these are actually powerful plant-based compounds that actually interact with our own critically important lipid mediators that were actually being expanded. So it's called the endocannabinoid system, but now they're expanding it to the endocannabidome because it's including maybe hundreds of lipid mediators that do actions across the whole realm of functions of the body. And some of them come from omega-6s, some of them come from omega-3s. That's why having a healthy diet that has an optimal amount of these different fatty acids is so critical to reproductive health and metabolic health.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a really beautiful kind of like splash in the water of what we're going to talk about today, because, you know, I think fundamentally starting with women and their understanding of hormones, when we say the word estrogen, there's been a tagged sense of fear around this word of estrogen for many women. Estrogen-based cancer, estrogen menopause, estrogen hot flashes. And so women associate these different words, feelings, and symptoms to estrogen. But you and I both know estrogen is a life-saving hormone, you know? And so I think going back to, you know, the endocannabinoid system, when we talk about it, is the master regulator of the entire body, including the endocrine system. And so fundamentally, you've really kind of been able to crack open the code around how estrogen is involved with what you say is this lipid-based structure. We make our own endocannabinoids from fatty acids. So if we are deficient in fatty acids, we don't have a correct, we have a, what we call endocannabinoid deficiency. Now, there's all these different things in life that create an endocannabinoid deficiency. And I think the first correlation to people correcting it is to go and smoke marijuana or take CBD. But that's really not what we're here to talk about today. It's really understand the estrogen and endocannabinoid system interrelationship. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the anandamide and the FAH enzyme and how it correlates with how it's built up and created and how it's also reduced in the body to help us understand a little bit about that correlation with our hormones, if you don't mind.
No, my pleasure. So it's a bi-directional system, and that's what the body has. It always has that sort of Chinese yin-yang, you know, the push-pull, you know, so you have the hot-cold, everything is like bi-directional. So it turns out that estradiol, which is the primary estrogen produced by the ovaries, actually blocks the enzyme FAH that you mentioned. That is the degrading enzyme, primarily of anandamide, but it also has an impact on 2-AG, the other endocannabinoid, but it also may be working on the enzymes that are involved with 2-AG as well. We're just beginning to learn this, but we know for a fact that it blocks FAH, so that creates an increase of anandamide. Now, as well, estradiol, it actually stimulates the receptors for anandamide. So the receptors are more receptive, and it also stimulates more production. So it also works with the original enzyme system that helps to create anandamide. So basically, estrogen increases anandamide. Now, anandamide is known as the feel-good endocannabinoid. So it makes you have appetite, but it's all, when everything is right, it's all regulated. It's not out of control appetite. That happens when you have dysregulated endocannabinoid system. But it makes it so that you have appropriate appetite. And that's one of the reasons that estrogen is known as an anxiolytic hormone. It reduces anxiety by this increase in anandamide. Now, when you have high levels of anandamide, in turn, it works through the hypothalamus to decrease the production of the gonadotropin-releasing factors that are in turn supposed to go to the pituitary to create more of the gonadotropins like luteinizing hormone, LH, and FSH, which go down to the ovary and stimulate the ovary to make more estrogen. So basically, it's a feedback system. When you have high anandamide, it feeds back to lower the production of estrogen. So estrogen raises anandamide, and then in turn, when you get a lot of anandamide, it lowers estrogen. And then when you have lower estrogen, it's going to lower the anandamide. So you have everything in the perfect balance when everything is right. And the menstrual cycle is the perfect example of how the endocannabinoid system and the female hormone system are intimately linked to make everything right for a woman to have appropriate cycles and, of course, to be optimally fertile. So I always say, even if a woman doesn't want to have a baby, she wants to be optimally fertile because fertility is a sign of female health. The ancient people knew this. They worshiped fertility gods. That's why the menstrual cycle is a vital sign of a reproductive aged woman's health. When a woman has an abnormal menstrual cycle, this is so key for people to understand. If they have horrible cramps, if they have irregular cycles, very heavy bleeding, the solution isn't to try to cover it up. The solution is to help that woman to get healthy. That's a red flag that she may be nutrient deficient. It could be as simple as severe magnesium deficiency. She may have circadian rhythm dysfunction. She may have have fatty acid problems in terms of her diet. There's a whole array of things that are going on, and those will never be addressed if you just put a woman on birth control pills. That is ridiculous to treat these abnormalities by just trying to cover them up. So it turns out that the whole menstrual cycle has a rhythm of both female hormones and of the endocannabinoids. So in the beginning, when a woman is on her period, the estrogen is low, and then it starts to go up. And as the estrogen goes up, so does the endocannabinoid system start upregulating the production of the endocannabinoids. So you have the two going up together, and then you have this giant spike of estrogen, and then you have a spike of the endocannabinoids, and then you have ovulation. And the endocannabinoid system is key to maturing the egg that's going to be ovulated and actually inducing the ovulation itself. Then the endocannabinoid system modulates the tubal function that enables the egg to move just at the right rate down the fallopian tube to become fertile and to become, to get fertilized. And so that is all perfectly timed. The endocannabinoid system regulates that. And then it plops into the uterine cavity. The endocannabinoid system is what regulates the implantation of the embryo and helps the development of the blastocyst. All of that, as well as placentation, the development of the placenta, is under the control of the endocannabinoid system. Now, after you have this big spike of the endocannabinoids, it's very high at ovulation. That's the highest it ever is in a woman's cycle. Then it goes way down. There's a dip in estrogen, and then you have the high steadily production of progesterone. Well, progesterone has the exact opposite effect on the endocannabinoid system than estrogen. That's the yin-yang that gets in there. So progesterone now upregulates the FAAH to start really down-regulating both the production through the enzyme system. It blocks the enzyme that produces the endocannabinoids like anandamide, and it also increases the production of the degrading enzyme, the exact opposite of what estrogen does. So now progesterone is blocking, and you're having very low amounts of the endocannabinoids being produced. And it stays very low throughout the whole pregnancy, and that's really critical that it stays low, but, you know, perfectly modulated. And then just as a woman is going into labor, it suddenly goes way up. And it has all kinds of interrelationships with oxytocin, the hormone that creates wonderful bonding with the baby and creates the uterine contractions. All of that is modulated through the endocannabinoid system. And of course, the hormones as well, because they're totally interlinked. And this is all wonderful and brand new information, how our reproductive system, our sex hormones, and the endocannabinoid system have this beautiful relationship of rhythm and how it works through the pregnancy. The problem is when you have obesity, for example, that is a sign. When you have obesity or when you have circadian rhythm dysfunction, for example, you're working all night, you're a shift worker, you're going to create dysregulation of the endocannabinoid system. And that has been shown absolutely to decrease fertility. So women who work at night have much higher rates of infertility, irregular cycles. And then with that goes mood disorders, sleep problems, and so forth, because it's total body effect. Yep. So working at night is so harmful to health, and you dysregulate your endocannabinoid system. Anandamide, for example, I mentioned, is the endocannabinoid that increases appetite, but it all should be regulated, of course. So you would have high anandamide in the morning, and then you should have an appetite in the morning. People who say, I'm never hungry in the morning, clue, you have a problem, okay? You have an endocannabinoid dysregulation. Now, the same people may have high production at night of anandamide. They get the night munchies. Mm-hmm. And they're not supposed to. So when you have these things happening, then you can know without even having any tests, that if you're hungry at night, if you're not hungry in the morning, your endocannabinoid system is dysregulated. So what does that mean? It's like, okay, we've got to reassess everything in your life. You have to get your priorities in order. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at your diet, your stress. Of course, all of these things interact with every lifestyle thing. And now we know endocrine disruptors and other environmental toxicants can impact on the endocannabinoid system just as they impact on the hormone system. So, you know, you got to look at products you use. Are you using clean products? Are you, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, we have to look at everything, because this is a clue. Nature did not make people to have no appetite in the morning and then to be at night.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really incredible. And I really love your explanation and how you weaved in progesterone, because I haven't really connected the dots on progesterone actually raising the FAH enzyme so that it can create that ebb and flow. So it's really getting a big picture of the ebb and flow, the importance of the ebb and flow, and really making sure that you're always taking analysis of a lifestyle so that you're out of the push and pull. And women have had all kind of options thrown at them and how to push and pull their hormonal system. But I'm getting a bigger picture after hearing you talk about all these connected dots about the health of the endocannabinoid system. And, you know, specifically to the circadian rhythms as well. And so if we really think about estrogen and we think about the anandamide, okay, so we think about these rising levels, this is a direct correlation also to our emotional health and our emotions and why we feel bliss and why we're so happy at one point in our menstrual cycle. And then sometimes when we're not so happy. But even menstrual cycles in themselves weren't supposed to be hell. Menopause wasn't supposed to feel like hell. It means there's an imbalance in the body. And obviously there's lifestyle factors and toxins and all that kind of that impede that. But it is, it's an eye-awakening piece where if we're out of balance, then it obviously should be linked back to the endocannabinoid system.
For you, listeners of Awaken Beauty Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Simply go to www.audibletrial.com/Awaken Beauty Podcast. That's www.audibletrial.com/Awaken Beauty Podcast.
So if we go back to, let's maybe, if you can maybe tap into the correlation and the importance around, you know, inflammation and the inflammatory states, because when we talk about now this other piece where we have a generation that's having, you know, brain disorders, inflammation relating to so many women that suffer from everything from a skin disorder of psoriasis or eczema to arthritis. What is the correlation between inflammation and the endocannabinoid system and estrogen? Because estrogen absolutely takes down inflammation in the body.
Absolutely. Well, now we're beginning to understand it so much better. The endocannabinoid system has receptors on immune cells, and estrogen works along with it, along with progesterone. So when you have endocannabinoid harmony, we'll say, the immune cells are going to be calm unless you're in the middle of an actual fight for your life, like from an infection. The immune system is going to be in a sort of a neutral state. And that's what the endocannabinoid system helps to maintain. So when you have endocannabinoid dysfunction, then you will have immune system dysfunction. So that's a clear correlation. So one of the things that now they've discovered is that in people who have circadian rhythm malfunction, because they're eating at the wrong times, they're sleeping at the wrong times, they're going to have dysregulation of their endocannabinoid system. And we now know that metabolic syndrome, which is when you have obesity, when you have high lipids, usually you have insulin resistance, hypertension, all of those are really manifestations of endocannabinoid dysfunction, disorganization. And it's really huge that we now understand that the endocannabinoid system is actually integral to the formation of metabolic syndrome when it's dysregulated. So this is a big deal. Now, what happens when you have metabolic dysfunction and you have endocannabinoid dysfunction, you actually have overproduction of anandamide. You have too much. And what happens is when you have too much, the receptors start to get resistant. Just like people have heard insulin resistance, and then you have the receptors and you have all this insulin, but it's not working. The blood sugar isn't getting into the cells. And you can have leptin resistance. So leptin is the hormone made by fat cells that should lower appetite. But when people are obese and they have abnormal circadian rhythms and such, the leptin doesn't work on the receptors, and therefore your appetite becomes dysregulated. And actually, that is all intertwined with the endocannabinoid system. And when you have all of this dysfunction, obesity, poor diet, nutrient deficiency, circadian rhythm dysfunction, then you can get receptor resistance of CB1, the receptor that makes you feel good. And that, of course, interlinks with a lot of the metabolic functions and so forth. And so then you have up production of anandamide because the receptor isn't working. So it's very comparable to someone who has prediabetes. So when you have prediabetes and diabetes and you have insulin resistance, you're having endocannabinoid resistance. And so you have high production of anandamide, but it doesn't work properly. And you really are totally metabolically dysfunctional. Yeah. So we now know that all of these systems are intertwined. So yes, you do have like resistance, and you have resistance of your CB1 receptor. So right. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to have complete dysregulation of your appetite and your circadian rhythm and your gut microbiome. Because now we know that there's a bi-directional effect between the gut microbiome and the short chain fatty acids. Remember, if they're fatty acids, they're also from their lipids and the endocannabinoid system. So that's also bi-directional. So every system in the body, we're now seeing how it's one incredible, you know, like thousands of pieces in this puzzle. And right. In order for the body to work right, you have to have all those pieces in that puzzle. And the endocannabinoid system is taking up a lot of those pieces. And in so many people now, it's dysregulated. So they have appetite that's, you know, they have no appetite in the morning, they're hungry all night, they're highly inflamed because their immune cells, you know, their macrophages, mast cells, they're all putting out all their inflammatory contents when they shouldn't because they're not stabilized. So you have this dysregulation of the whole body, and we really have to start from scratch trying to help people that are in this situation.
So obviously we can correlate, you know, over anandamide to the munchies and when you smoke marijuana and why that hunger goes up. On the other side, you know, you do have a good background in intermittent fasting. So if our endocannabinoid system and we're hungry in the morning, I believe that intermittent fasting should not be a forever gram. I mean, it should be done with a professional if possible, and cycling, we can still utilize that system to stave off morning eating until 11 o'clock. What is your thought on that basis if we're hungry in the morning and you're still involving intermittent fasting and hanging on to not eating until 11, 12 o'clock?
Okay, so it turns out that everything in our body is on a timer, mm-hmm. and we are optimized for different functions based on the time of day, whether we like it or not. Right. And it turns out that all our cells in our body are more insulin sensitive in the first half of the day, particularly mm-hmm. in the morning, within a couple hours after you wake up. So what does that mean? It means when you eat food and your blood sugar rises, the insulin works so much better. So mm-hmm. you get the glucose cells, so the cells can have energy and do all the functions they need to do. And your blood sugar goes down, your insulin will stay low, so you won't have the inflammatory response. When you have high insulin all the time, that creates an inflammatory state. So we do not want that. We want to keep our insulin steady and low, not like you're hypoglycemic, of course, or anything like that, but just steady, low, normal, as much as possible. The fewer spikes we have of insulin and sugar, by far the better. It's not just you're like, people measure hemoglobin A1C. That gives you an average. You can have a normal hemoglobin A1C but you're going like this all day long. And then you draw a line through the middle. It looks like you're okay. You're not okay. You don't want these big spikes. So we don't want to do that. So we want to try to put our food into our bodies when our bodies are most able to handle the food. And that means the morning. I know we've evolved with like having big late dinners, but the reality, if you're metabolically unhealthy, if you have a fertility problem, if you have irregular cycles, then you don't have that cushion. You just have to be strict. And in fact, there was a study in Israel, and it was with women with PCOS, but there's no reason to think it wouldn't apply to anybody else. They took these women who were having many problems with their metabolic function, and they had irregular cycles, and they had them eat 2/3 of their calories in the morning, mm-hmm. and then one third at lunch, and then like one bite for dinner. That was about it. And in just 1 month, their insulin levels dropped by 50%. Their cortisol levels dropped by like 30%. They could actually, you know, get insulin sensitive again. And you can't lose weight unless you have low insulin. Insulin drives fat storage and fat production. Right. You can't lose weight. Of high insulin. Right. And this dramatically lowered their insulin. It was amazing. And they started ovulating. These are women who couldn't ovulate. That is a sign that their brain says, hey, times are good. We can make a baby, right? So they're healthy. That's a sign of health. So I urge people, I'm all for time-restricted eating, but you should really get your fasting in from the evening for about 13, 14 hours if you want, but at least like if you could do 13, that's fine. After you get more than 13, the return on investment goes down and down. So it's, but 13 is like the sweet spot. So 14 is fine, but 12 is not as good. So if you could have an early dinner, I know people don't do this, but if you're motivated to get healthy or you want a baby or just want to, you know, reverse some kind of metabolic disease, they want to give you all these drugs for, right? Because they want to give you drugs for lowering your blood sugar and your cholesterol and all those things. You can reverse it by doing what I'm saying. If you just eat a lot of food for breakfast and then you eat an early light dinner, and then, you know, and you have like a bigger lunch, but the biggest meal is in the morning, or just have like a brunch if you want, you know, a brunch and a dinner. Just make it like two meals like that and make the dinner early, more like what they call supper, right? And then you get 13, 14 hours from dinner to breakfast, not to a late like afternoon meal. That you're missing the window when your body is most designed to receive food. And it's not like this is my rule. This is in your genes. You're made this way. It would be like you want to become a nocturnal creature. I'm sorry, you're not a night owl. You may think you are, but you have human genes. So we have like totally different body functions in the day and in the night. And our bodies are designed to make a lot of melatonin at night, which is a major antioxidant. And most people who have like acid reflux, they actually have their primary problem is sleep deficiency, sleep dysfunction. People don't realize that. And because you make so much melatonin in your gut as well. And the flow of blood to your brain is enormous during the night. And your blood pressure goes down. So it lowers your cardiovascular risk of heart attacks and stroke when you get adequate sleep. And proven, you know, like so many studies that show this, that we have to sleep at night. If you flip it and you want to flip, like you're living, like I'm in California and I want to pretend that I'm in Dubai, which is like 12 hours different. And 7 days a week, I completely flip my life, you know, 12 hours. I can do that. You know, if I get night shades and I, you know, I wear an eye mask at night and then I basically turn on all the lights and I get a light box, you know, because I'm, you know, up and about in the middle of the night, you can basically live like you're in a different time zone if you do that 7 days a week. But who on earth is doing that? Nobody. People who work at night, they don't work at night 7 days a week. You know, they have a day off and then they want to do things with other people who are day people. And so they're always going to be in trouble. What I tell those people, and there's no easy way around it, there's no magic repair for this, is to eat only two meals a day and make them 12 hours apart and do it every day, whether they're working or not, so that at least what they're doing is they're helping to set the clocks of their gut microbiome, because every living creature, including the microbes in our gut, have timers. You know, they have clock genes, and that will help set the clocks of your liver, the metabolic powerhouse, so that you don't go into a state of like uncontrolled gluconeogenesis, which is what happens. And they just pour out sugar uncontrolled, and then they, of course, they become more diabetic. Or then they also pour out fats, triglycerides. So they have high triglycerides and they have high sugar. And at least if you eat every 12 hours on every day, that will keep your liver clocks at least knowing, sort of getting into the beat of that, even if you're not doing other things right. You know, there's no fixing that, but at least it sort of ameliorates some of the damage.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, sleep is so critical. And we now have studies linking to brain detoxification, you know, resetting. There's just so many imperative pieces when we are sleeping. And so I really like that thought about not hacking and biohacking with tons of supplements and things like that to try to make up for the damage, to literally reset your circadian so that you can get your body back into sync naturally and let it naturally get into that ebb and flow and that beauty of creation that we live in, going back to the hunter and gatherer. I mean, they weren't sitting up on their blue screens at night eating, you know, Doritos because they were bored. I mean, that's probably why we're eating at night. We're bored and we're having some emotional kind of craving. So we do something to keep us busy as we're on our light.
They've done these studies and it's really sort of sounds criminal that the food industry did studies on people to test what they call the bliss point. Like what's that unique combination of fat, sugar, and salt that will make them become addicted to food? I mean, just like shameless, you know. Their goal is to get people to buy their product, even though it's harmful for their health. So I am of the school, which I'm sure everyone out there is too. It's called farm to table. Yep. Man has never improved on food. I mean, the food that grows in the ground, that comes off the tree, that's, you know, the best food that there is. Putting it into some plastic packaging and changing it and modifying it and adding chemicals, you know, taking out all the nutrients and then calling it enriched. You know, this is like what? You know, everything is best when it's in nature and organic. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to put chemicals on our food and then serve it to us and put, you know, poisons like pesticides. They're killers and they're killing living creatures. And every living creature on the earth has many similarities and so forth. Like I mentioned, that the endocannabinoid system exists in creatures that lived 600 million years ago.
Right.
So we have a lot of, that's where, you know, they didn't realize that some of these herbicides, they thought, oh, they don't work on human systems. They work on the systems of the microbes. So they're killing our friends. You know, this is what I say over and over, that we are related. So, you know, all the microbes that live on us, all our microbiomes, we have a microbiome of everything. When I was in medical school, I was told that everything in the body was sterile. Nothing is sterile. Our brains have a microbiome. Our uterus and our ovaries have a microbiome.
A microbiome in our breasts and how we can early detect breast cancer forms due to the different microbiome in our breasts. I mean, it's fascinating.
It is. And they found that women who get ovarian cancer have a different microbiome of their ovaries than women who don't. Absolutely. So it turns out that all these microbes that live all over us on every surface, including on the placenta, and we know that the placenta microbiome is different in women who get preeclampsia. So all these microbes are actually related to us. And this is like a big understanding of who we are and why we should love our microbes, because we are like composites of DNA and RNA from the single creatures, you know, the DNA from microbes like bacteria or even the RNA from viruses, they're in us. So what I say is like, they are like Legos, right? We're like giant Lego land, you know? So we are composites. And when we kill them, we're killing us as well. That's why. That's what autoimmune disease is. We're trying. We have chronic low-grade infections,
right.
And these enemies that we're trying to kill, these invaders, you know, the abnormal bacteria that get into us and then get into our system through leaky surfaces like leaky gut, but it could be leaky vagina, leaky lungs or leaky sinuses, but the gut is the biggest one. But, you know, our immune system is activated trying to kill these invaders, but the invaders look just like us. So every time a person has an infection, the antibodies produced are always against us and against the invaders. And the problem is that's supposed to be for acute and then we get over it. But when it's chronic and it never ends, then you end up with autoimmune diseases. So we have to nurture all of our microbiomes. That's why what you put on your skin is so important. And we just have to understand that we have to eat food to like feed our little friends in us, and the food that our little friends inside love, and this will help to regulate our endocannabinoid system, is fiber.
Yeah.
So we have to eat. In ancient times, people ate enormous amounts of fiber. Now a typical American might eat 8 grams. I mean, it's like they sometimes eat nothing. Everything is processed.
Yeah.
And we don't have fiber. So the first thing that people need to do is to reestablish a healthy gut biome. That means you have to care and nurture for our little friends. I call them our cousins. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, come on, we have to help take care of our cousins. We didn't understand they were staying there and they were not freeloaders. They actually make all kinds of metabolites. At least 20% of all the proteins circulating in our blood are made by microbes, not by our own cells.
You know, not even that. We make estrogen and hormones in our gut through the microbiome. And, you know, I think for women, I cannot express enough cruciferous vegetables. You know, I think that's probably one of the easiest way. And then starting to slowly bring in fermented foods are two good ways, you know, to start to feed our microbiome.
All right, ladies, if you're looking for natural, organic, solution-based beauty and superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com, that's evokebeauty.com, and receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's evokebeauty.com. Type in the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order.
One last topic that really is on my heart, just because, you know, I really work with women that are 38 plus. And when women are maturing, we're really looking at our health in a different way. We're looking at how do I start to either prep for menopause, or how do I start to prep for mental health, and as well as osteoporosis. So there's even been links back to osteoporosis, and we sell I formulate a CBD, very, very high CBD product. And CBG is known to help with the osteoclast and osteoporosis. And so can you kind of give us any insight as far as how the endocannabinoid system and even osteoporosis are intertwined? If you have any insight on that.
Sure. Well, we did not understand at all what osteoporosis was for the longest time. Yep. So you mentioned osteoblasts, osteoclasts. So osteoclasts are part of the immune system. They're actually modified macrophages. And these are immune cells. And I've already mentioned that the endocannabinoid system modulates, along with the hormones, along with estrogen, the function of the osteoclasts, of all of the immune cells. So when you have metabolic syndrome, when you have dysfunction of your hormonal production, you are going to have dysregulation of all of your immune cells, including your osteoclasts. Okay. So an uncontrolled macrophage in the brain, they're called microglia, and they can create havoc and increase the risk of things like dementia. In the bone, it increases the absorption, the resorption, you know, the macrophages, the osteoclasts, they eat up the bone. And what you have is an imbalance between the eating up and the laying down, because bone is very dynamic. Bone is not static. And the drugs that are being used to treat osteoporosis, they don't fix the situation. What they do is they prevent bone turnover. They have different mechanisms, but they prevent bone turnover. So you basically get frozen bone. And in the long haul, in the short run, it looks like it's denser because the osteoclasts are being prevented from eating it up. But there's a reason why they should eat it up, because it's creating healthy new bone. It's always supposed to be eaten and then new bone lay down. And stopping that process in the long run, you're going to have, and it could be long run, meaning like 5 years, not talking like 30 years, you will have brittle bones. You will have unhealthy bones. And then they say, take a drug holiday. Wait a minute, that's a silly wish. Anything that you say, you have to stop it, it means there's a problem with it. So, and all of this is interrelated to estrogen. When women have loss of estrogen, or they have inflammation. Now, there's now tons coming out that diabetics who are inherently inflamed, diabetics are inflamed people, they have much higher rates of osteoporosis because they have dysregulation of the endocannabinoid system. We now know diabetes, you always have dysregulation of the endocannabinoid system. And then you have dysregulation of your immune cells all over your body, like in your brain, then you have higher rates of dementia. In your bone, you have higher rates of osteoporosis, and you're going to have higher rates of problems in your gut because there's a whole slew of immune cells in the gut as well. So you're going to have problems everywhere. So getting the body proper hormones and getting, you know, all the lifestyle things so your endocannabinoid system is functioning properly is key to maintaining healthy bones. And I love the idea of preparing for menopause by building up your reserves. So the things that you want to do is avoid birth control pills. Please, can't have proper function when you're on birth control pills because you don't have the beautiful rhythms that allow your endocannabinoid system to function properly and so forth. So please find another birth control method. Like, I don't care what you use, but don't use chemical mimics of hormones. You know, use condoms or have your partner have a vasectomy if have a tubal ligation. But please stop with the chemicals that are disrupting your own natural hormones. They are disrupting your endocannabinoid system and your gut microbiome. That's been proven that you, when you're on birth control pills, your gut microbiome becomes dysbiotic or abnormal, and then you have more inflammation. That's why we don't give women who just had a heart attack birth control pills. We don't give smokers birth control pills because they're not good for your metabolic health. So that's a clue, right? So we don't want to be on that. And then eat lots and lots of polyphenols and antioxidants and healthy fats, because you can't make all these wonderful lipid mediators if you don't eat the right healthy fats. So, and then eat at the right time. And then the other things is lower stress. Do everything you can. I include mind-body medicine on all of my women patients because women are more sensitive. We know that now. They have different sensitivities than men, and they are more likely to have heart attacks from emotions. They even call that broken heart syndrome in women. So every woman needs to take stock of her stressors. And I love guided imagery. Some people like meditation. People do yoga breathing, and all those different types of ways of handling stress are so critical, because you can eat all the right foods at all the right times, but if you're a stress case, I'm telling you, you will not be healthy and you will have high risks of every kind of bad thing that you can imagine. So stress has to be addressed. So we need to nurture our microbiome, live with our circadian rhythm, understand that that's in our genes. It's not variable, and no one's an exception to the rule. You're all humans. And, you know, we have to work on stress, get sleep, light. I cannot tell you how light. I mean, dermatologists tell people stay out of the sun. I say get into the sun, not to get a burn, but the sunlight, it's not just making vitamin D on your skin. It makes a whole host of antioxidants that are really important. And sunlight coming into the eye increases the production of serotonin. So yeah, you feel happier and calmer. And then serotonin turns to melatonin, so you sleep better at night. And we know so many people live in like their own man-made caves, right? They work in offices where they never really see the light of day. So like, take a walk at lunch, get out in the sunlight in the morning. You will feel better. You'll sleep better. Your mood will be better. It's so much better than Prozac.
Yeah,
it really, you know, it's so, you know, these antidepressants. Now, a high percentage of women, at least a quarter of women in their 40s, are on antidepressants. What is that saying? You know, it's saying that our endocannabinoid system is disrupted. We don't make anandamide properly, or we have anandamide receptor resistance because we're metabolically unhealthy and we're inflamed. So the solution, you know, is in most cases, I mean, I'm not going to say there's no exceptions, you know, but in most cases, the solution is lifestyle changes, not a pharmaceutical. And now there's plenty of data that the SSRIs increase osteoporosis, which we just talked about. We don't want, because bone is so critical to longevity, health span in all men, but especially women. 80% of fractures are in women. And bone is not just about structure. It's an endocrine organ. It helps maintain brain health, mood, and insulin sensitivity. So it's, you know, because everything is multitasking.
Debbie's on a podcast for osteoporosis just in general, because that's just it's a big fear for women. And, you know, they don't really think about it until they think that it's too late. But there are things that we can do. And
yeah,
certainly with
plan ahead. You know, I say, you know, save for the future, build your bone now.
Yeah, and
bone deposits need to be.
You know, I started taking bioidenticals with progesterone and estrogen, and under obviously professional and with doing Dutch testing and all of that, because, you know, you really do have to get a baseline and be ahead of that. There is no other way. So thank you so much for that. I mean, just a wonderful wealth of knowledge you are, Dr. Gersh. And I'm so happy that you're out there talking about all of these subject matters. Professionals need to put an ear out, and I believe they do. I see you on a schedule that's pretty hefty for yourself. And As far as the close up the podcast, you know, a lot of women and, you know, I sell CBD, I formulate CBD, but more than anything, I really love to educate about the endocannabinoid system and how we can utilize our healthy lifestyle to really boost that up. But I do know that it really does help a lot of women with inflammation, with sleeping at night, calming them down. Mm-hmm. Now, we do broad spectrum. I do not do full spectrum specific CBD, but I do have full spectrum for topical for that bi-directional relationship with the skin. What are the tips that you would then give for both the CBD and the marijuana to close out today's podcast on what to be careful of? Because I absolutely hear you on the THC and how this has really become sexy for women, but it's also a great danger if women are looking to be fertile and how this can also degrade their healthy hormones. So any feedback on that would be great.
So I feel reproductive aged women should stay away from THC products unless there's some special exception. Okay. But in general, they should stay away from THC. It should be very tiny amounts, like what you would find naturally in hemp, which is very tiny amounts. And as far as using full spectrum or broad spectrum hemp oil, I think there's enough data to support its use, and I definitely advocate for it. I like the, in general, start low and go slow, and because everyone's unique, and you have to find what's your exact dose for you and how to take it, and do a little biohacking on yourself as far as dosing goes. You want to have a product that, of course, is going to be clean and tested and so forth, so that you know what you're taking, like your product and so forth. And you want to think about what your goals are. Because the endocannabinoid system has receptors throughout the entire body, and the miracle of nature that it made plants like hemp that actually have all these ingredients that can work, not just on the endocannabinoid receptors, CB1 and CB2, but on a whole range of other receptors involved in metabolic health, like the PPAR, and also the transient potential vanilloid receptors, and which have to do with pain. So there's a whole, and others, they're looking at, you know, I call it the endocannabinoids and friends, because then there's a whole slew of now of receptors that it's where they're working on. So there's a potential to impact on virtually any area of the body. So women from perimenopause on is the largest growing demographic of users of hemp oil products, because they, women are more, like I said, are more sensitive. Women tend to have more mood disorders, more sleep disorders, more pain than men. So because the endocannabinoids systems are through all organ systems of the body, people can use it for particularly anxiety. They can use it for problems with sleep, all kinds of pain issues. There's research looking particularly on multiple sclerosis of the autoimmune diseases, and that is very exciting. There's data now on gut health that it may help reduce colon cancer and other intestinal cancers and reduce inflammation. So, of course, people need all the proper studies and everything, all the testing, but as an adjunct to everything else they're doing, I can't see any reason not to use these high-quality hemp oil products, because conventional medicine has no drug that does the things that they can do. And for people who don't understand how it works across all the areas of the body, it sounds like snake oil, because like no thing can do that many things. The reality is that because of the entourage effect, because of all these different components in the plant and the complexity of all the different receptors, it actually has potential to do such a wide array of things that it's only when you understand the system that it can actually make sense. And then you realize that these aren't like wild claims, you know. But of course, we need more data, more studies. And now that, of course, it's legal across all state lines and we can use it more, there will be more studies, because we have so many people that are in desperate need to have improvement in all of these different things, sleep and mood and gut health and pain issues and so forth. So I would say for women who are perimenopause and older, I see no problem in using these products whatsoever. Any woman who's reproductive age and is thinking of getting pregnant, I would use caution. Now, I use actually quite a bit of hemp oil products on my patients who have dysmenorrhea and endometriosis, but not, I have to make sure that they're not pregnant. So I want to make sure how I use it. I'm using it usually when they're on their period. Okay. So they're not pregnant, because by modulating the immune cells, and like particularly the mast cells in women who have endometriosis, there's great hope, and I'm seeing it in my patients, that it can down-regulate the inflammatory response that occurs every month in women with endometriosis when the tissue from the uterus comes out of the fallopian tubes and creates this, you know, uncontrolled inflammation. And that's a whole, we could do another whole story on that about endometriosis, because that's heavily linked to the endocannabinoid system and progesterone receptor dysfunction. And so it's that's why we're sort of jumping over the hurdle by giving the endocannabinoid agonist, by giving the hemp oil, because our own body system is malfunctioning and we can perhaps, you know, sort of saturate the receptors and downregulate the inflammatory response with these hemp products. And I'm very excited that it's available and we have good products.
For you, listeners of Awaken Beauty podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Simply go to www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast. That's www.audibletrial.com/awakenbeautypodcast. Hey. 70% of women more than men have anxiety disorders, and 1 in 5 have an autoimmune disorder. And so I look at CBD as it's really incredible reinvention back into the industry, and it's completely safe. You know, obviously that it's a remedial plant and you're not working with a dose. And one of the things that I see happening in the CBD market is, you know, a lot of the products are private label, a lot of them are diluted. And so you have to understand, if you're getting a cannabis plant and they're trying to dilute hemp and or CBD from the cannabis plant, you're also diluting the quality of the CBD. So now you got a 0.03, but then you also went from 20 milligrams to maybe, you know, 4 milligrams of CBD. So there's so many variables in the CBD market. And so I applaud you for telling women to be careful with THC, because there are many unknowns. We do know that the endocannabinoid system is kind of one of the first pieces that babies experience to calm them down when they drink from the breast milk, but it's not marijuana. It's the natural endocannabinoid, though. Raising that level is great. Applaud that by any means with inflammation, and inflammation heals anti-inflammatories heal anything. And interesting to your, I was going to mention this, SSRIs, the pharmaceutical companies, from what I have learned, put a little bit of an anti-inflammatory in an SSRI. So you kind of wonder, like, you know, what's working on the receptors? And, you know, obviously they're taking over control of the body and its mechanisms, but they're also are smart enough to put an anti-inflammatory into a pharmaceutical. So if we can use these other alongside to help, you know, with a, obviously taking it away from a medication and follow the needs of a doctor, but if you can help clean up all of the offset from pharmaceutical or what have you, with CBD, I think there's great potential there too with more research.
Absolutely. And with this crazy opioid addiction epidemic, the government wants people to convert from opioids to using hemp-based, cannabis products. And so it's really, hopefully, going to really be a turnaround for a lot of people whose lives have been really ruined. Some, of course, have been ended by this opioid epidemic that has been pervasive and, of course, fed by both the government and by the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, and I'll leave one more past thing too with CBD products, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry and the supplement industry. We're making a high CBN product right now that is really, truly, authentically CBN, and we've had to test it for almost 6 months. And, you know, be careful of products that have like a sleep aid. Is it the CBD, which is helpful, but then they also will take it with melatonin or other supplements alongside it. So just make sure that when you're taking CBD and you want to take it for that, take CBD. And if you're looking for something that has melatonin and you need those other adjuncts, then, you know, maybe search out a product for that. But just trying to throw everything into a product doesn't always mean that it's best or it's working efficiently. So just a little bit of tip, but Dr. Hirsch, is there anything else that you would like to share with us today? And if not, I always ask my guests,
what have you personally awakened to in your life recently?
Well, for myself, it's watching my grandchildren grow and the importance of and how wonderful it is that my daughters are feeding them really organic foods, and they're really living the lives that children should have. Because I was just in China recently. I was part of a whole big conference on ADHD, and the incidence in China is about 7% of children now. And look at the numbers that we're talking about in China. It's a huge epidemic. So when I see like the new life, it's all about helping women with trimester zero. That's before they even become pregnant, to get healthy, and then to start in childhood. You know, we talk about once women are approaching their 40s and they're in their 30s and they're really seeing on the horizon that menopause is really going to come. Well, you know, I like to start from square zero, you know, but before babies are even conceived. And so I love to watch the growth and development of my little grandchildren and see their minds growing and developing based on exercise. And they're not allowed to watch a lot of screen time, and they get out there and they have purpose and they love school and they love broccoli, like you said, the cruciferous vegetables. Yeah. So you can have children love cruciferous vegetables. You just have to give them and then keep telling them how wonderful it is and show them by your example. And they will have a taste. I see it myself. It's like they love their fruits, their berries and all that, but they love vegetables. And it's so exciting to see that. And that's probably been like the most exciting thing for me, is to see my little grandchildren grow and thrive on eating real food and having real exercise and real sunlight. And that, because right now there's such an epidemic of children, you know, about the adults, but children suffering in so many ways, separation anxiety, ADHD, of course, the autism, you know, explosion and so forth. So we need to nurture life at every stage. You know, I, in my practice, you know, take care of adult women, but now teenagers more and more, because they're really having their own challenges, because when they go through puberty, their periods are terrible because they're so nutrient deficient and circadian rhythm normality. So we need to work with our children and recognize how to help them through puberty. And for women out there who have young teen girls, please, if they have abnormal periods, don't let them get put on birth control pills to regulate their periods. It's not regulating, it's shutting down their own natural hormones, which they need to develop a brain, their musculoskeletal system, their cardiovascular system, their immune system, their gut. Everything needs hormones. And now you know the endocannabinoid system is related. That's why women who go on birth control pills have more depression. And even in the young ones have higher rates of suicide. So we need to control reproductive functions, because we don't want to be like rabbits. I understand. But there are other alternatives. And we need to scream bloody murder that we need alternatives that don't take away our beautiful rhythms and our beautiful hormones that we need for our every aspect of our health, to nurture our endocannabinoid system as well. And I just want to mention that I have my original book, PCOS SOS, and that is a gynecologist lifeline to naturally restore your rhythms, hormones, and happiness. And I have sort of a sequel that is coming out in January of 2020 that's called PCOS SOS Fertility Fast Track. So it's a 12-week program exactly telling you week by week for 12 weeks what to do to optimize your fertility. And of course, have a healthy pregnancy and lower your chances of having a child who has medical problems. Now, the reality is that I've already told you that fertility and metabolic health are one and the same. So you don't actually even have to want to get pregnant to use my book. Because if you just want to have optimal health, then you just follow the 12-week program. Because remember, optimal fertility means optimal metabolic health. They're one and the same.
Oh, I love that. And I think I just got an idea that I'm going to have a 12-week book club. I may have to invite you on, and we'll have a 12-week book club, and we'll both women PCOS and infertility, and women that really want to get back into rhythm. You know, I really, I loved your piece that you shared about your grandchildren and young women, because my heart, you know, I've clinical hypnotherapist, and I'm actually starting to take in more of these young girls more than anything to understand how to regulate the stress in their life, which then it always brings in the mom. But I literally had a mom in my chair the other day crying because her daughter's friends that were mind you 16 years old were being put on antidepressants and she just did not want to go to that. And her daughter was begging her. So there's social and peer pressure too from these girls. And so, you know, I'm sure you know of Dr. Gabor Maté, and going back to the ecosystem, ADHD, all of these things start in the ecosystem of our family, our mind, self-compassion to really wanting to lead our best life possible and not getting caught up in everything. And you are an example of that. Everything you write, say, and do are an example of that. And I greatly, greatly appreciate you for your time today. You are a wonderful woman. I hope to have you back soon. And so thank you again for your time. And thank you all for joining us today on the Awaken Beauty Podcast. And as I always say, until next time, stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back. All right, ladies, if you're looking for healthy hair, beautiful skin, and a calm, quiet, clean, collected, powerful mind with superior CBD, go to evokebeauty.com. That's EVOQ beauty.com. And you'll receive 25% off your very first order with the code AWAKEN. Again, that's EVOQbeauty.com. Use the code AWAKEN for 25% off your first order. Awaken Beauty, thank you so much for joining the show today. Were you inspired? Please leave a comment or your own personal aha moment so others can capture exactly what you did. Also, please like and subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you're interested in high quality natural products for your hair, skin, and wellness, including organic CBD, please visit evokebeauty.com. Again, that is evokebeauty.com, EVOQbeauty.com. And until next time, darling, stay sane, get sleep, and bring your sexy back.